here in Brighton doing a catch-up, I think I call it, with Alison Pollard-Mansour. Alison, some people who are not in the theatre world will think scratching involves something to do with itching. But in terms of your company, tell us what scratching means in terms of the wedding reception.
We're currently doing performances based around our new show, the wedding reception, with audiences that are invited who will give us notes at the end of it. They're giving us their opinion, they're having input, they're letting us know what works, what doesn't work, and having not a proper full three-course meal at the moment. It's sandwiches and chips, but that's what scratching is, getting it ready for performance.
And so what does that physically look like? So at the end, if somebody says, we thought that was too long, you guys will take that into your rehearsal and look at, say, cutting it. Is it that simple?
Yeah, the people that we're inviting are fellow actors, they're directors, we've had journos, and just members of public. And yes, telling us things like, I like this bit of the character, I think that I'd like to see more of this, I'd like to see less of this, I didn't get the storyline here, who's this character, that sort of thing, so that we can take that into consideration, because we are looking from inside the thing now. We've been working on it for so long, we need fresh eyes. But thankfully, everything that's coming out is very, very positive, and they're just tiny, tiny tweaks, and it's getting to the really exciting stage.
So that enables you to, well, I mean, I'm in business terms, test the product out before you commit it too much.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a marketing test. It's seeing whether people would buy a ticket for it. Would you pay this amount of money for the ticket for it if it includes your meal? It's all those things. Yes, it's testing the waters with the product. And then we go live in the Fringe for four shows here in Brighton. And that'll be another testing of the waters. And our big aim is to get to Edinburgh this year and do 2 weeks. So they'll obviously be tweaking between Brighton and Edinburgh too.
Now, something that's become kind of, you know, it's the signature of the company, 40 Towers, the dining experience. This is another dining experience. What are, apart from the ingredients to the food, what are the ingredients of a successful, you know, outstanding dinner theatre experience?
Firstly, the dinner has to be a part of it for a reason. There's no point putting cats on, for example, in a theatre where you're eating food, because it doesn't revolve around eating. 40 Towers, the dining experience, works because it's set in a restaurant and you've got people serving you that are these characters. The wedding reception is another one of those. You go to a wedding reception, you eat at a wedding reception. Stuff happens around you at a wedding reception. The bride comes in, they circulate the tables, they meet people. Sometimes funny things happen. So the purpose is to make a real situation comical, so that you actually forget that it's a bit of theatre, that you actually invest in being there, because the audience, we expect our audience to actually be cast as people that will play along with us. And so that's, I think, the dining experience needs to be something that's set around food for a reason.
But you're inviting people, you know, to almost become distracted and eat their dinner, but also become distracted and watch the show. How do you get that balance right?
We have very, very tight timing. Everything seems to look chaotic, but it's not. It's very tightly timed right down to the minute and sometimes the second, so that you know when the food is coming out. You know that the main parts of the plot are going to be revealed at certain times before the meal comes out. People, if you've got it right, if you've got the recipe right and they're laughing hard, they need a break from that. So we have to bring the acting back a bit, and we make that then an interactive time where they're working around the tables while people are eating their food. We don't want people to choke to death. We just want people to go out and have a really lovely time, and that involves calming down sometimes and chatting with the people that are at your table.
And speaking to you as the director of a show like this, when you then, say, go to the Sussex County Cricket Club, but then onto another venue, and you walk into a space and you go, oh, the acoustics in here are a bit strange, or, oh, the lighting's different from there, or, oh, it's a very long room. What's the process then of needing to adjust and really make sure you claim that space in a way that, you know, the show works again?
It's a matter of people going in and finding the good parts of the room and really working those. I always say find the funny in the room, because you've got to own the space. It's exactly right. Finding the bits in the room. If the acoustics are not bad, then finding the places in the room where the acoustics are the least bad. You know, the best spaces to stand. Sight lines are often a problem. So finding out where the audience is going to see the best action. We don't use microphones because it's the shows that we do. It would take away from the reality of the situation. Lighting, we'll use lamps, we'll use dimmers, we'll use sometimes add candles to the tables to make sure that people can see the actors. But it's usually a process of, you know, an hour or so of wandering around and finding the space, banging walls, seeing what's going to work nicely, what's going to be funny. Is this curtain something that we can use? Is this chair something that we can use? That sort of thing. It's about, you know, becoming a part of the space.
Well, I guess part of the signature of 40 Towers, the dining experience also, is there is a very, very clearly, tightly choreographed show, but around that you can't know how the audience are going to react, so there's improvisation as well, and sometimes the killer lines and the moves are around the unexpected. Are you doing that again with the wedding reception?
Yes, that's what works. People get invested in the storyline and they want to be a part of that. Of course, in a wedding reception you're not just a guest that's there for a dinner. You're there because you supposedly know either the bride or the groom. So we're letting people know whether they're affiliated to the bride's side or the groom's side, or whether they're just a Facebook friend and they've read it on Facebook, so that we can have a bit of fun with people that they don't actually know. Yes, it's involving people throwing in ideas, throwing things at you that might not be expected, but it's all in the skill of the actor in taking their characters and knowing the characters, being the characters, knowing how they're going to respond to that.
18 years of and more still going of 40 Towers, the dining experience. There's an assumption in this question. I'm sure you'll put me right if it's a wrong assumption. How have you not got bored, Ali?
I've not got bored. I've been performing in it for 18 years. And the thing I loved about performing for all those years is that every single performance that I did was completely different. And it's completely different because of the things that you mentioned before. It's the audiences that have involvement in the storyline. It's the venues that are different every time. It's the things that happen that you don't expect, and so you're thinking on your feet all the time. I've just retired from that now so that I can develop more things like the wedding reception. So I'm not bored now. I'm extra busy. But it's lovely being able to see. I've got 9 teams of performers that are doing 40 Towers now, and it's lovely catching up with them and making sure that the show is of the same quality, you know, in each individual production. And I'm really looking forward to working with these guys in the wedding reception, hoping the same thing will happen with them, that we'll need to get more teams involved.
And so this sounds like a bit of a life coachy question, but, you know, it's probably good for you, isn't it, to be doing something different than you as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I had my 50th birthday and I thought, that's it. I don't think I can do civil anymore. And I've always wanted to develop more, and we've got lots and lots of venues that want more from us because they book us time and time again, and the 40 show goes incredibly well. So having more that's similar, that will work in the same sorts of spaces, is exactly where my heart is now. My passion is getting more people involved in the acting, in the writing, and producing new things that we can take around to these same venues.
It's a bit of a nitty-gritty question, but it satisfies my curiosity about theatre making, is that up in Edinburgh you play a restaurant. Down in Brighton you did the 40 Towers at the Thistle Hotel, and I can remember we were already being warmed up while we were waiting to go in. Is there a different challenge from, say, a hotel-type venue to a restaurant?
No, I don't think that there is. I mean, we also work in theatres, and a lot of the time we work at the Lowry, work at the Wales Millennium Centre. It's really, I think people go along expecting, in fact, not knowing what to expect. And so it's a nice thing that the actors, when they come out into the first area and mingle with the crowd, and the storyline starts before you even go into the space where the real story takes place, you're... disbelief, you know, it, it it disappears in that time. You are already invested in the story before you even go in. So sometimes, even though we're in a black box, it doesn't matter to the audience that we're in a black box and not in a beautiful old seaside kind of place. A lot of the places that we work, in Malaysia and Singapore, for example, where we've just been, they have nothing like the buildings that you have in England. So it's very much about the suspension of disbelief and just believing and investing in the story and what's happening around you.
I mean, maybe that's all it was. It was just that being in the Thistle Hotel and actually having stayed there and having parents who stayed there who occasionally, you know, had complaints about their rooms and stuff like that. It just adds that little bit of extra believability because you're in a hotel.
Yeah, I think it does if you're in those spaces. But I would like to think that we can create that anywhere that we go. You know, that that we can beyond these walls, there are rooms perhaps that you are going to stay in tonight. So it's all to do with getting everybody completely invested in the story.
And in terms of the new show, then it scratches. You then bring it here, so that suggests it's not printed as a script yet, and you're going to take it on forwards again. So what's the writing process? Is there a script with lots of notes all over it? How is there a committee that sits around and writes it? How does that actually evolve into the thing that we're largely going to run with for, you know, a tour?
Well, it started off with character development because I really, really believe that you need to have strong characters that people are going to be interested in and want to know what's happening to them. And we've got, from a cast of four, we've got 9 characters for the wedding reception. So we started with characters and then we started improving and we started developing the storyline from them. So we build the backbone. And in that backbone, one of the first things that we do with the dining experiences is actually put in when are we going to have the courses so that we can build around that. We then know when the peaks of action need to happen. So it's very much that process of, right, story, characters, how are we going to develop this story? So it becomes like a bit of a plot chart, I suppose. And then individual stories are written, individual speeches are written, and we put them all together, we tweak, we cut, we put things together. We're in scratching process now. We're up to about draft 4. And we last night we just cut out a few different bits and pieces and we're adding some more in today. By the time we get to Friday, we will have a fairly solid script. By the time the 4 shows from Brighton are finished, there'll be lots of tweaking that's gone on. But the thing with Fawlty Towers, and we've been doing it for 18 years, that's still the process. So it's never going to be completely set in stone because things happen, political events change, things happen in countries. And I mean, over 18 years, we've seen lots and lots of things happen. Fads come and go, and it gets involved in the storyline and then it gets removed from the storyline. I imagine the same thing will happen exactly with the wedding.
And I guess even more so in that, you know, Fawlty Towers is loved all around the world, and, you know, that may not have been predicted when they wrote it, but it really is loved in so many countries, as is Fawlty Towers, the dining experience. In terms of the wedding reception, will you have to adapt it a bit more culturally to different countries you play? Because weddings are different in different parts of the world, aren't they?
Yes, I think that that's probably the case. We're doing a season of touring through the UK. At the moment, all of the characters are very, very British. We are going to take it to Australia, and there's a large British audience there, so we'll be able to leave a lot of the Britishness in. But it's like Fawlty, when you go to a country, you need to change some parts of the script because they don't understand what we're talking about. I imagine it'll be the same. And yes, it would be lovely to involve some of the elements of the different types of weddings that happen around the world. That will be a challenge, I think, that we'll enjoy doing. Having little bits of different music and different types of things that happen. And when we start new casts, maybe we do that. We develop them so that these are the types of casts that can tour the Asian countries. Maybe these are the casts that can tour the European countries. I don't know. There's all sorts of realms of possibility.
So we can catch the first cast in Brighton, but there's going to be more casts to come.
I'd like to think so, yes, absolutely.
Alison Pollard-Mansa, thanks very much indeed.